Well, we'd like to welcome you back again to HelloEarth.info, and this is the Saturn Earth Connection. And this is hour 43, and it's June the 10th, and Michael's been away. He's been out to Argentina for a few days, and back on the air again. So hello, Michael.
Hello.
Hello. Well, welcome back. It's good to have you back. And the swans are still sitting on the eggs, and the water ozone generator has finally arrived. But last time we were on, you had that audio from the Cassini that was picked up near Saturn. And I was asking Michael just before we started recording if he could play it once again. This is from the last hour, hour 42, but he could play that once again and say the words where it's taking place.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So that, yeah, this is what I was kind of given, led to speak. Not necessarily, you know, basically I just, it was there. It was neat. Sounds like speech, but I ended up being instructed that it's in English. Listen to it carefully. It will give you the words. So I'm going to do the same thing. Just if you want to hear it, I'll give you the words. Then you listen to see if you can hear those words. It's sort of a shortcut to what it really, you know, could be. Could be any language, but ultimately it's. Was told to me, listen for it in English. Anyway, here we go. Let's see. It goes, the first words are these three. And then it goes to, for you. In other words, take it personally, these three, for you. So I'm going to play that part. I'm going to go, these three, for you. And now I'm going to go, these three, for you, are God in heaven. And then there's some syllables there, and what you're supposed to do is put your own name in it, make it a personal message. Like it's speaking to you personally, so it's sort of very, very general sounds, but actually I was told that's what you're supposed to do. So whatever your name is, put it in there and you'll hear it for yourself. So now that's from YouTube. It's very interesting, and I just was going to shake it off as something interesting, something nice. But there's, you know, very, very interesting things going on there in this area around Saturn, of course, having gone to the New Jerusalem out there at Saturn. It's no surprise that there's a lot of very, very high technology, some very technologies that are almost unbelievable, and some that are very, very much supernal. Someplace in between solid reality and light and spirit. Anyway, there was also one more thing, Curtis, that was sent, which was a picture of a video of this object in the rings of Saturn, orbiting through the rings of Saturn and laying down a clear track behind it. You remember that one?
No, I don't.
Well, it was sent to you. Anyway, it's in there, and it's very interesting because if this object has been orbiting in the rings for any amount of time, the rings would have long ago disappeared. But this object is in there and is moving quite rapidly through the rings, and it's of the interesting things that Cassini has brought back for us.
Oh yes, I remember that. It almost looked like it was going around the record.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I spotted that on my own when I was looking at some of the Cassini stuff. And I noticed this one group of shots is showing this object moving through the rings and leaving behind it like a smoke trail. In other words, it is actually encountering all those ice particles or particles of whatever other matter that may be there. And, of course, leaving a track, much like a boat would leave in its wake, you know, moving through the water. Anyway, that's an interesting thing. But much more important is how this sound was developed by it, why it would be so explicitly clear to me, anyway. And hopefully a person wants to hear it, wants to lay it personally, they can try to hear those words for themselves by going back to YouTube and listening to it. And why would there be these three sounds very distinct and clear to remind us of three? And that goes back to an important factor, is that why couldn't we just have God being a singular God, and we just say God and we don't have to worry about these other three things? And it's very interesting. Have you noticed that there's a lot of symbology in ancient religions that have three things clustered together?
Oh, yes. Three is a very, very popular.
Very popular, right. Mm-hmm. And the Trinity concept, or the triune God concept, is very, very old, ancient, even surpasses Christianity much, much longer. You know, goes way, way, way back. And there is... according to the Urantia book, gives an idea that the earliest symbol was given as a bullseye, three circles, and the next one's out. By the way, my family crest is one of those symbols. It's called three commas, and it's also one of the most beautiful crop circles that did come out. It's kind of a famous crop circle. We have three comma shapes that spiral. It's also used quite often. The Department of Transportation also uses that. It's an ancient Hebrew symbol, Aramaic, really old. And those go back to the same concept of the triunity. Anyway, you remember that crop circle that had those three?
I'm thinking of one that had three crescents, and they were identical. In other words, they were three pairs, or three copies of each.
Each, and sort of in a spiral?
In a spiral.
Yeah, that's the one.
And it's so gorgeous.
Yes, that's my family crest.
And each one of those crescents are all
crescents, right.
You know, each one is different, but each one has two others identical to it.
Uh huh.
Is that the symbol you're talking about?
Something like that. It actually looks like three, like a propeller that's bent. You know, like a propeller shape. Like a boat propeller, more likely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or three commas spiraling together. And they were like made up of lots of little commas, spirals. So, and that was a family crest. Anyway, this I want to explain something about what's happening, what happened to me. This question is... starts people's mental processes going toward accepting some of the purpose of being. You know that I went to the school, you know, essentially. It was a free-flowing academy, essentially. You can graduate from whatever level you want. And by the questions you asked, they were open to answer them as soon as I asked them. One of the ones, of course, was gravity. And that was a strange answer, which was everything is growing. Expansion, which is now being somewhat expanded upon by some of the string theorists, believing possibly that at the actual, down at the quantum level, or being, at the level beyond, or smaller than even the particle itself, what it's composed of, is actually growing, expanding. Beyond that question, I decided to ask another question, in which the Danaid later invited me into the light, and I was like, this is the most astonishing part, when the Danaid stepped up to a platform and just became light. And he invited me, and I believe a few of the podcasts ago, I did explain that I was taken to a place where the veranda decks were. The veranda decks are they're two that are allowed for our development and purposefully held here. And they are real beings of sentience, and actually we can talk to them and look at them, and they can, from the light, you can look at them, and then you begin to see them within the light as something not very, very strange. They take on a very beautiful humanoid appearance, angelic, actually, of light. And the question that I had and that was going to be answered has something to do with this concept here. And that is one which is, I think it is fundamental to a lot of people's curiosity. What is the purpose for life? What is the purpose for me being alive? What is that purpose? Am I supposed to just be alive and then just, you know, eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die? Is that the kind of purpose that we had? And as I was looking at one of the veranda decks, his answer to me was very plain, very simple, and it was to become one like I am, to become one as I am. And I looked at him and I said, "You're light. You know, you're not flesh and blood." And then it became very clear to me that, oh, we're not supposed to stay flesh and blood. That was kind of dumb, you know. You're stuck in flesh and blood, and you say that's all there is, and that's where life is, and that's the purpose for our being. However, that's not it at all. My goodness, the bigger picture was so beautiful. It's that we are just at a starting point of our being, as being this whole earth, all of its life, all of the things that have been here, were to raise us up as beings potentially becoming like beings of light, truly children of the Father, of God. And as a result of a rebellion of one of the lower sons, this veranda deck son is a higher son than the other son, which is called a Lona Dundek son, which is the order in which Lucifer was. And he had rebelled. Lucifer desired to shut us off from the adjuster, from the thought adjuster, which is the father fragment or fractal who resides in every human being. And this father fractal is supposedly much like something that we need to believe in and address and begin to create a relationship with. And, you know, this little message we hear, if we want to, we can exercise ourselves in faith and belief in the Father Fractal and listening to those words. And it says, it starts, those words right here are from Saturn, from where the New Jerusalem orbits, is saying to us all at a personal level, these three for you are God in heaven, and put your name in. So if it was for you, Curtis, you'll be like, these three for you our God in heaven, Curtis. So it would be like they are addressing you personally, teaching you this.
I see.
And if you can, if you desire to hear it, you want to hear it, you'll hear it. And when you do hear it, you'll begin to gain that part that is already in you, the part of fractal, the thought adjuster, and you will begin to gain that that construct, the soul construction between what you are and the potential being of looking, where I ended up looking into these beings of light, very high order of beings. You can look them up, the Virandadek sons in the Arantxa book. And just the Dano son, the teacher's son, brought me to meet the Virandadek sons, two of them. I just met one, and the other one stood there next to him. And I asked that question, well, what is the purpose of my life? And that was a very simple answer there. So overall, the purpose is much, got a much greater dimension to it than what I have, right? What we can generally understand in, you know, just the flesh and blood concept, because we only measure our lives from a short period of time.
When you said his body was light?
Yes. A being of light, like a cylinder of light that, you know, that if you looked at it, it was white and beautiful, and then you looked at it and addressed, what are you? Then you'd make this contact, a telepathic contact, which would give the form that is for you personal, one that is beautiful, beyond our understanding of how they can take form, but it is perceivable. You can actually, it's not like looking into a, you know, if you got a puff of smoke and you shine a flashlight through it and you see that beam and you just see, look into that beam and you just see the beam of the flashlight. But
yes,
this is much, much different than that. It's like the light takes a form of the being. And the being looks at you and is able to commune with you and does radiate love and does radiate peace and does radiate a lot of the answer, which was very simple. The purpose of life is for you to become like me. Wow, you know.
Was his being solid?
I mean,
if he touched him, would your hand go through him? Or
I wasn't given the opportunity because I stood away about 10 feet to 8 feet away. I wasn't like within arm's reach or a step away. I was beyond a step away. And the entire room was very, very different from where I had just come from. It was a different kind of a place. Essentially, I looked at myself and I said, I'm the same. Mm-hmm. And I'm standing on what appears to be a floor, and then I looked at them and I looked, you know, I studied this a little bit, and that question was not to be answered by the Dano. It was to be answered by the Virandadek. Mm-hmm. What is the purpose of me being alive? What is the purpose for the human race, you might say. What is the purpose of the human race? The human race's true destiny is to become beings of light, eternal creatures, never perishing, but being brought up. But the first purpose is very much like trying to listen for that sound that is being, you know, at YouTube, that alien speech. You might say that's it in you, and it's true. The father fragment within you is not you. It is separate and distinct from you. It is God Himself. It gives you the ability to become, first of all, possessed and owned by God, and then as His, you are then given to the Creator's Son. The Creator's Son is Michael or Jesus Christ, and then empowered and imbued with great power by the Mother Spirit or the Spirit or the Holy Spirit. And within that three, one, two, three, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Father, Son, Spirit, is the construction of your eternal being. You must forge that relationship and become into that final three center ring from outside in the seventh ring, where you just simply become a being that has intelligence and is able to, one way or another, communicate, whether you're with others and grow and move, get educated, move through society, ascend human need to a point where you begin to look for these fundamental questions, which at the age of 19 I began to shout to the universe, and I was intercepted by Tan and Nella, and starting to receive the answers. And these are the answers I bring back. And since people are somewhat ready to hear the answers, I'll begin to give them out, because they require a level of belief or faith that is not normal. It's not normal that you walk around and see beings who are made up of light, who can actually become solid too.
When you look at these beings that are made of light, are their eyes a different color, skin's a different color, or is the whole being a hue of a certain color light?
Their whole being is a hue of light. Their eyes, to me, were not just a strong white light. Their eyes emanated much of what they are. In other words, their eyes speak to you. So when you look at their eyes, there's more than colors that are involved. You don't see a physical color of light. You see a understanding of who they are. You see a communication. You see much more than just light itself, because all of that is being transported to you at the same time. So there's a lot of knowing involved. Their eyes were golden, which is not normal. But anyway,
it's not normal compared to what?
To anyone has golden shining eyes that, you know, and yet their being seem like light and you can see through it. So it's very difficult, because the sparkling eyes, it's very beautiful. More beautiful to know them than to perceive them, as to look upon them. Because to look upon them is to know them. To know that they're who they are. And of course, you're just like an open book to them, you know, nothing that you can hide from them. So that message.
Yes, I was going to ask about the message.
This whole experience of, I guess, Earth and its, you know, primitive life forms, and going through all its developmental stages, which were all could be learned sitting in front of a screen. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah, they'll sit you in front of a nice screen and you could learn. Then there was a point where I turned around and said, I know all this. Can I, you know, this is stuff that is pretty. And then I said, okay, you know, and then I came back and I started asking these questions, like, you know, who they were, what is gravity, then the purpose of life and all of this, and of course this purpose of life, of course, why did you make us, Earth, human beings, why did you do all that, what was that purpose? you know, what is that purpose? And that was the answer. So our ascending career from actually a physical construct is part of a developmental design that we are, as a physical form, becoming transferable to a higher level physical form, moving beyond that as we develop more and more of the characteristics necessary to progress for an eternity. Now, I have no idea what that eternity is. However, in part of understanding the eternity is to look at the universe and say that it is expansive and is eternal. So if you were to expand all of the Milky Way galaxy, you know, millions and millions and millions of times over a short period of time, let's say over 10 seconds, it would expand a million times. The universe's openness and infinity is well capable of absorbing it. So it is so gigantic, the space in which to grow to and the amount in which can be filled. And this is what we are, is starting growing toward this tremendous and grand adventure.
Did you ask them about the universe? What is, how vast, what size, where does it go?
The vastness of the universe, where does it go?
Where is it?
The universe?
Yes, it's like...
That is something that you are challenged to comprehend. And you can try to comprehend it in timelines, you can try to comprehend it in space, but none of them are capable of describing its vastness and its infinity. Thus, how can you possibly understand eternal life? So all of this is in our lives. We start off with a concept of understanding finite life, a life that seems to have a beginning and an end. And somewhere within that, we are drawn in to make contact with the Father fragment, the adjuster within us. And we begin to ask these questions, which is a normal part of our progression toward being able to move into the everlasting experience. And we don't make those jumps. Of course, we don't graduate to the next circle or positional relationship to the triunity of God who constructs our everlasting being, our soul construct, that part of us that needs to be developed. And we have one of the most one of the most important functions in it is to give that construct its uniqueness, its personality, it's who we are, and to be able to do that. Not just to, you know, spend our time on Earth trying to become wealthy or, you know, without need or anything for the physical self, but to construct ourselves well, connected, you say, might say, to these three, for you are God in heaven, and construct that eternal soul. Allow that to be worked out, you might say.
These three, what does that mean, these three?
These three means that they are three beings, three entities who are God. The Father fragment, Father in heaven, the Father fragment. We all hear the stories that our bodies are the temple of God or the temple of the Holy Spirit. Bodies are the temple. Bodies contain the Father fragment, can actually contain and patterned after, first of all, contain the Father fragment, patterned after the Creator's Son, and infilled by the Mother Spirit, the Holy Spirit. These three unite functionally within ourselves and our personality and our construct with them, and create the eternal soul, the soul that can make eternity. Not a soul that is. Just to say you have a soul doesn't mean it's eternal. You may not have the desire for eternity. In other words, there is a desire to end, and that is not an eternal soul.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the bigness of the picture that was stated in that. That's why if you spend your time on Earth not having anything to do with the three, the construction never starts. And as a result, the soul never matures to a point where it is an eternal soul. So the one of the very first individuals ever to make their circles went through to become, to not be anymore. His name was Enoch, and he was a friend of God, as the Bible says. But essentially, he had made all his circles, and he had become a truly, he had developed a true relationship to these three, who for him was God in heaven, who knew him and knew his name. And as a result, he was the very first, I believe, of those who the system had begun to start on moving to the eternal level.
Maybe this is a good point to ask you a question about, well, Packle asked this. He said, please ask Michael to comment more on the airlift. Michael spoke of the airlift humans that have passed away or died. Does this mean they found a way to enter the realm of our ancestors? Because you had mentioned that they didn't want to leave any souls behind.
Right. First of all, the soul, once developed, is the possession of the Father. The Father fragment within it. The fractal and you have a relationship. Creator Son, bridging that relationship and empowered by the Spirit. That movement within your body as you live and move and breathe, having that relationship, develops that. So the soul, once developed, is now the possession of the Father, gifted to the Son. Once gifted to the Son is commissioned never to lose one of these, not one of them. But the point that I gave earlier is it being prior to the commission of being turned over from the Father to the Son, as Father's property given to the Son, and the Son now holding the soul, whether in the body or not in the body, it is his possession never to lose. And it is desire that that commission moves on down the line. Now, there's a big difference between those who are essentially the seed of Earth, the mortal beings capable, genetically capable as well, of being sex creatures, having male and female able to procreate. This is a very important one, because the living sampling, which the Bible numbers as about 144,000, of pure, genetically clean individuals, it doesn't have to do with their let's say, personality. It does say of their diversity. It is that they are diverse enough and numerous enough to continue the seeding process throughout the universe. So our species, the human race, is destined for greatness because it is the base seed for much of life's generation throughout the universe. So all other areas which are in a developmental form, which have may have developed sentient beings, or may, such as the Biavians. The Biavians have already had a sentient species, but they have gone through many degenerations and essentially have found their type as becoming nearly was threatened, actually. But to move toward, to continue the move of the eternal, the development of eternal beings with the potential of becoming beings of light, sons of God, essentially small gods, these start off from our genetic following. But those that have left the body, they've made their circles, essentially having one salvation by turning to the Father Factor and bridging it between that by the Son. The Son's name in the Rancho book is Michael of Lebanon. The Son's name on earth is many. One of them is Jesus Christ. Others are God, save me. It's many names, but is ultimately facing toward God, toward the fractal, toward the Father fragment, and of salvation, and being led later on by more and more of the curiosity, the desire to know, and making all of those adjustments, as well as just wonderful, you know, moving toward more and more of the wonders and splendors that are in the universe, ever to be discovered. So anyway, those that are essentially dead without the body are not to be lost if they've made. But this is not for me to judge. I cannot say who is those that are have been, you know, readied for the eternal journey, or those that are to be left or haven't developed to that point to make the eternal journey. I don't know. I know that, only know what I was basically told, and I'm just trying to relate those things to anyone who want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And it is known that there is anyone, there's no one here that has the real power to hold back anyone that is, you know, going on. Even the failure of the Luciferian deception, which was to erase all of what I'm saying as bogus, hogwash, untrue, that Luciferian deception, even that is not strong enough, because when I was young, I heard those deceptive words that God is not real. If he is, he's dead. And the ridiculous concepts that are held in religious circles about the reality of the physics, all the sciences, the supreme God, and all of that. I heard all that, and I still broke through and was given a wonderful reward of knowledge and of truth. And hopefully I can, you know, help those that I promised, those 12 beings that are are of the core of destiny for Earth. They're in charge of Earth's destiny to make the, to get as many ready for this eternal journey as possible. But that's not to say that you're supposed to go to become some monk in the mountain or a society dropout. That's not it at all. it is to forge a relationship, a forge an eternal soul with the relationship of the three that for you are God in heaven. So anyway, I believe that Paco's question somewhat circles around the idea that the lift has nothing to do with the dead, or does, if it has to do with the dead are where, you know? Well, the dead, we don't understand fully the concept of the eternal soul, but it becomes, once it becomes the possession of the Father and bestowed unto the Son, it will never be lost. And there is a harvest of souls, which is much more important. Well, actually, it's not much more important. It is important. It is the end result of the purposeful journey, the beginning of all of these individuals to have that uniqueness of being, of personality, of just being who you are as individual being, the individual personality, likes and dislikes, and all of those things that come with being. And moving toward very everlasting journey. And that is kind of a bunch of words for basically looking into the eyes of a veranda deck sun and asking a simple question, what is the purpose of my life and the life of the human race? It was answered to become like that. Become like us.
To become, to become like us.
Yeah. Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyway, there's more to it too, but they don't have to go through all this, you know, tremendous development of teaching to answer a question. They can sit there and set themselves as the example. Now, the Biavians are only one group out of a much, much larger group of individuals that make up much larger. Heavenly hosts, a group of heavenly hosts, a group of galactic citizens, different beings. And of course, I went through was the idea that, you know, the human form is not the only form, or the humanoid form is not the only form, and then of course, seeing all these different types of beings. But for the human race, there is that three, the three construct, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, construct and makes up its everlasting soul. They will work to develop that. Otherwise, what is God's purpose in all of this? Just to make life and say, wow, we've got some green stuff on planet Earth. And we've got some wiggly things moving around. And is that all there is? Is that, if you could do that, is that all that is? No. You see, another thing maybe you don't know is that the veranda deck, as well as the Dano, were not like us. They don't have the navel. They weren't like born. They were made by God. And there is a limit on how they are made. And there are only so many of them that are made. And we are unlimited in our numbers. As long as the human race survives, and apparently there is a true destiny that at least a sampling, 144,000 sampling of the genetically pure, which are great to see the rest of the universe with, are going to continue that on. And the movement of souls already developed here on Earth are going to be the very first fruit of the harvest. The first fruits already went. This would be another group, actually.
the Urantia book designed to prepare us for this?
Yes, very much. The Urantia book is a great textbook form. It's not so supernal. It is a book that is meant to be one in which Jesus himself said, I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. You understand?
Yes.
Try going back 2,000 years and telling them about a telephone or a cell phone or any of the technologies that we have, or cars that go 100 miles an hour. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, you can buy a car right off the showroom floor and go 100 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 100 miles an hour? Yeah, like, you would consider that like, oh my goodness, you're into the level of God, you know.
Yeah, well,
we've gone to a point where we will not call every Biavian or every Lanadandek or Varandadek. The Lanadandek, Lucifer, who was of that order, wanted to eliminate everything and just become the ultimate. But we wouldn't, we were at that point where I never considered. You know, I said to Tananella, why are you here? I'm asking for God. And you come in here? Are you posing to be God? You know, I know you're not. You're a being, a sentient being, but you're not God. And this is where the whole adventure began, you know. Started to realize these beings that you're interfacing with were high order or highly civilized. Maybe millions of years ahead of us in technology, but have already come to an understanding of the fullness of the everlasting journey and why we still stuck in this quarantine place didn't know about all of the rest of the universe. And not only that, we didn't have all these other guys coming in and showing us, but from indications which I've been able to look at, I think we have been helped along quite a bit along the way. Some of it has been perverted by the priesthood, which thought of themselves as being the bearers of the only, you know, kind of truth, which ended up distorting the real teaching, which goes back to what I was just saying,
mm-hmm.
About our eternal destiny, about the very purpose of being, become light, beings of light. And, this is, by the way, the Varandadek sun is extremely high in the order, not very far below the level of the creator sun. So his their explanation of where our destiny is pretty is very, very high. Anyway, we're moving along in that pathway, you know, and we've got time to do it, and we just gotta realize that while we hear move and breathe, we move within, and God himself moves within us. Toward that development of the eternal soul, with capacity to move, capacity to move for an eternity. There's so much that can distort that and actually break that capacity, where people say, "I don't want to live anymore." And that is a broken soul, a damaged soul. That cannot make the eternal adventure. There is also others that have become so disconnected and connected within themselves, essentially have no construct between the Father, Son, and the Spirit, and in that sense are incapable of the eternal adventure. But can I judge who that is? No, I cannot. Anyway, that's the part that I'm instructed not really to have to worry about talking about. It's more important that I just give the answers that I wanted. I ask the questions and receive the answers, and I just relate them as simply as I receive them. Try to, anyway. I mean, you're not standing before a being of light. My goodness, that is pretty big experience.
Yes, so. That's pretty intense.
Yes.
Pretty intense. And this being of light speaks to you telepathically.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So anyway, as close as you can come is to maybe just run this exercise with this alien speech and see if it is for you. If you can try and listen, is it really saying there are three for me, God in heaven? Yeah, before you, for God in heaven, put my name in at the hand. Anyway.
Yes, well, that's very intense.
I think it is. Mm-hmm. It is, because it really answers a lot about our predicament. People look at it toward the end of their life and they say, toward the end of their life, if they've lived a correct life, they know that they've come to an end. They made a certain time of adjusting themselves toward leaving this physical realm and moving toward another. Sometimes they're not sure. But if you have created that relationship between these three, and again, I can call them Father, Son, and Mother, Father, Son, or Spirit. And so, they are our family. You know, we are part of that family and growing up in there. And that's one of those interesting things, family. When I went to Argentina, it was like being a part of a very large family. Their culture there is wonderful. And people express their themselves in very, very positive, loving ways. Their culture is very good. They're very unselfish. There was an interesting thing that I saw over there. Pointed out to me anyway by my wife, and was we were at a stop, and there was a four-lane highway, just four lanes going one way, four lanes going the other way, but just making it to the middle of that, we were at a stoplight, and there was a very old woman standing on one side, and the light had changed for her to walk across. She was standing there looking at the challenge of these four lanes to cross it, and holding her cane, hurling herself upon the with the cane. And the big husky guy standing right next to her looked at her, and then he just reached out, picked her up, and they went walking across the intersection, and her cane dangling in his hands, and her look on her face was she must have lost 50 years of her life and become like a youth again, and felt like a little princess or something. Because there was a big glow about her face going across the intersection, and she made it across, of course, safely in his arms, and he put her down. And this is quite a bit of a level above the Boy Scout, but essentially, I saw this. I've never seen that happen. I have seen people struggling to get across, but I've never seen anyone just pick up an old lady and carry her across the street in their arms and put her down on the other side.
Wow.
That was a real a demonstration of their how they are over there in Latin America. It's a really nice place, really nice spirit about the people.
That's a nice story.
Yeah, it's not like, you can't have that rat-eat-rat kind of idea, you know. Oh, you saw, and I saw, bakers on the road that had cups that were full of coins, and people always gave these beggars money. And I was like, my goodness, this is really, really good. And it was interesting to see, as was a young boy, apparently his mother wasn't doing so good, but he was out there with his this little can, and you know, I'm running around trying to get some money. But what had happened was this woman looked upon him and said, "Oh, this boy needs a little bit of a lesson." So she went into the store, bought him cookies. Rather than give him coins, she bought him cookies and gave him cookies. She said, "You know, later you'll go get, you'll learn how to make your own money. But for now, here, here's some cookies."
Yes.
So they're not only just giving them free things, but they're also like a parent teaching their, it's not their choice, it's a perfect stranger. Yet they take that neat little responsibility, one big family.
Mm.
And I saw that.
That's very nice.
That was very interesting.
Very nice. I wish we had that quality here in this country. I don't know what happened to it.
Well, yeah, it's part of our fault, too, you know. Try to get materialistic, you lose track of the richness of who we are to be. Not only.
A lot of people in this country watch television. What was their television like over there in Argentina?
I don't know. I didn't watch much of it.
Oh, I
did notice that there was a CNN, and of course it was in Spanish, but there was some kind of bombing in Bolivia.
Mm-hmm.
And then the troops came out, and, you know, we were on a bus ride, and I had to show my passport, and they went through our bags. They're very serious about not having any terrorism. So they did stop traffic, blow it down quite a bit. So they did stop people moving around, you know, freely to prevent more of this kind of crazy terrorism goes on. It's confused. Our planet is confused in many of its values, but it will be brought to an understanding shortly. Brought to a point. It will not be a point in which we are taken over and ruled. No, it's not that. The point will be that we will come to learn the teaching, the truth. We'll come to learn the truth. Once that truth is learned, you want to be on that side of truth. Right now, the lie is that all aliens want to take over our planet, and you know they're out there to take away our gift. But actually, it's really the other way around. The obedient ones are not interfering and are trying to elevate us in different ways. Are succeeding to a greater and greater extent using both all vehicles possible, whether it be the educational system, whether it be just broadcasts and things like that. It's making the awareness come out. But this mystery that's hidden from the ages is given to us to understand. And those who want to hold on to the power, you mentioned there's a group, it's given various titles, but it tends to say they hold the reins of the power of the earth financially and in long-term, multi-generational loops. And this is also going to, is being disassembled somewhat. We're moving more towards something that is available, ready to make the transition to a more appropriate, peaceable government throughout the world. Anyway, it didn't seem, that's one of the interesting things, I look for government and rank and pulling rank and all this stuff, and there wasn't any of that going on where I was. In my perspective at the New Jerusalem, was sitting there moving through the classes or walking up and down the hallways. It didn't seem to be that. It seemed to be that everyone knew their place and were absolutely intent on getting their job done.
Mm-hmm.
Not in a fierce manner, not in a stressful manner, but in a manner that is their, you know, that's their delight, that's their life.
Well, we have gone through another hour.
My goodness.
And it's that time again to say aloha to Michael, and we'll talk with you next time and listen, hear what's coming next.
Okay.
Thank you, aloha. Michael. Aloha.